Shalom Aleichem, welcome to our Chabura for this Amud for Brachos Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Our Chabura is dedicated in honor of Dr. Morty Goldenberg, who has done so much to enrich the St. Louis community's past few years, and we wish him a tremendous amount of Hatzlacha moving forward in all of his new endeavors for him and for his entire family. So our topic today is the sugya we refer to as Pas Haba B'Kisnin, which will translate over the course of the next few minutes. The Gemara tells us a story that Rav Huna, here on the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Rav Huna achal tlesa rifti b'nei tlasa tlasa b'kava v'lo barich. Rav Huna ate an enormous amount, what seems to be a very big amount, of this rifti. Rifti is bread, we don't know exactly what kind yet, of tlasa tlasa b'kava, three in a kav, which is a measure of volume, and he didn't make a bracha, he didn't recite a blessing. Meaning he didn't recite a blessing afterwards. Beforehand, he certainly did. The question is, what about afterwards? And Rav Nachman said to him, Amale Rav Nachman, Adi Kafna, Ela kol she'achirim kovan alav su'uda tzarech levarech. Are you still hungry? Is this for satiation, for hunger? Wait a second, why didn't you make a bracha afterwards? That's the exchange between Rav Huna, who ate this bread, and Rav Nachman, who asked him why he didn't recite a bracha after eating the bread. So Rashi has two different explanations as to what happens in this Gemara, but the first opinion is that Rav Huna ate a special kind of bread, not every ordinary bread. It's called Pas Haba B'Kisnin. Rashi says, Achal Tleisa Rifti, in Dibra Maskel Rav Huna, Mi Pas Haba B'Kisnin, of Pas Haba B'Kisnin, V'lo Birich Acharav. And he didn't recite a blessing, a bracha, afterwards. And the question is, why not? So apparently, even though ordinarily when a person eats bread, so they make a bracha of Hamotzi Lechem and Haaretz beforehand, and they recite a bracha of Hazan, of the four brachos of the De'oraisa Hazan afterwards, what we call Birchas Hamazon, or benching. In this case, there's something unusual. So apparently, the status of Pas Haba B'Kisnin is distinct, it's unique, and therefore afterwards it doesn't require a Birchas Hamazon. So we have to figure out why. But before we figure out why, we have to understand, well, what is Pas Haba B'Kisnin? So if you go back to Rashi on Mem Aleph Amud Beis, Rashi in Dibur Maskel Pas Haba B'Kisnin, he explains that after the meal they used to bring nuts, and in addition to the nuts, they also used to bring pas that was nilosha im tavlin. There was bread whose dough had been mixed with all kinds of spices, and so that was eaten as a dessert. That's option number one. If you look in the back of the Gemara in the Talmid of Rabbi Yona, they quote from Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Reshba also says that the word pas haba b'kisnin, kisnin comes from the word kis, like a pocket. Whereas according to Rashi, the word kisnin has to do with the nuts that they would bring. Kisnin are kloyos, and so they would bring nuts, and they would also bring a dessert bread type of thing, where the mixture in the dough actually had sweet elements in it. The Rashba and the Talmid of Rabbeinu Yona, they said it means that it's a pocket. So imagine, let's say, a pie which has a filling on the inside. And then the third opinion, which is cited by the Beis Yosef, he's quoting from the Aruch and Rav Haigon, others quote also from Rav Hai, is that kisnin comes from the word kasisa, like to crunch. And these opinions actually date back to something that an idea that appears in Tanakh. This is quoted by the Kolbo on page 18. In the Kolbo, he quotes from the Pasuk in Melachim Aleph in Perek Yudalid. It says that the wife of Yeravam ben Nevat, when she disguised herself and went to visit the Navi Achia Hashiloni to inquire about her son who was very ill, it says v'lakach b'yadech asara lechem v'nikudim uvakbuk dvash v'nikudim. Rashi says here is min kloyos, which is consistent with what he says about kisnin, and there the Targum says nikudim are kisni. So it's a kind of bread, it's an unusual kind of bread, and Chazal ordained that even though, generally speaking, normal bread, afterwards you say Berchas Hamazon, Pas Haba B'Kisnin, you do not. And the question is, why? So you can give two different suggestions. Either, number one, that this kind of bread, either because of the consistency, the taste, the sweetness in the dough, or because it's filled, or because it's cracker-like, it's crunchy, it's not a meichel chashev. It's not a distinguished food on which you're going to say Birchas Hamazon, because Birchas Hamazon is the one blessing on food that is min haTorah. It's ve'achalta v'savata v'erachta. So Chazal say that's the makar, that's the source for the biblical requirement for Birchas Hamazon, for benching. Well, this is not real bread, and therefore it doesn't generate a chiyuv Birchas Hamazon. Or The other option is to suggest is that not that the bread is not chashuv, but since the intention of this bread is not for a meal, for your primary satiation, therefore the rabbis did not institute on it a bracha of Berachas Hamazon. And in addition, not only is it true for Berachas Hamazon, as we will see, the Shulchan Aruch rules, this is also true for the first bracha, right? The Gemara, according to Rashi, was only discussing the last bracha. But now, what we're saying is that Chazal downgraded Pasuk B'Kisnin, and it's also true for Berachas Hamotzi. So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf, Samach, Ches, in Orachayim, Se'iv Vav says, Pasuk B'Kisnin, Mevarech Olav, Borei Mine Mizonos, Ula'acharav Bracha Achas Me'in Shalosh. So not only do you not make a Birchas Hamazon on it, you make only what we call Alamechia, or Bracha Achas Me'in Shalosh, which is a diminutive version. It's one bracha that includes the first three brachas of benching. You also don't say Hamotzi on it. So is that because the Takanas Chazal is that this food is not a Meichel Chashuv, but If you had ingredients that were a Meichel Chashuv, it would be, so that would only be if you didn't have all this other kinds of factors? Or is it not because it's a chashivas of the bread? You can ask the question, maybe it's not a question of chashivas, maybe it's because it's not achilas keva. And the main reason that you make a birchas hamazon and that you make a hamotzi on bread is because it's masbia, it's soed, it's filling. That's the primary form of satiation. Well, since these things are what we could call snack foods, memela, you're not going to make a bracha of hamotzi, and you're not going to make a benching afterwards. This question was raised somewhat in a beautiful sefer called Emek Bracha by Rabbi Ari Lev Pomeranchik. Zechad Tzadik Levracha was a great go in the beginning of the 20th century. And here, he has a small question where he kind of articulates this formulation, not exactly in these words, but the question of, is it a technical requirement of Pasuk B'Kisnin, or is it a more generalized idea that since it's not meant for Achilas Keva? So one nafkamina for that might be, what if you have a food item, a bread item, which doesn't have exactly, you know, a snack flavor, but even though it doesn't have a huge snack flavor, on the other hand, it does have some other ingredients. So if you say, well, technically, it doesn't, as long as it has additional sweeteners in it, it doesn't fit the category of pas, and therefore it's pas baba kisnin, so then it would qualify as pas baba kisnin. But if it doesn't have so much flavor, so then maybe it's not a snack food, and even if it does have some flavoring, you would still say bracha of hamotzi. So perhaps this is the nafkamina that appears in the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch and the next Se'if, and Se'if Zion says, well, according to the first definition that we gave, which is the definition of Rashi, that there's fruit juice or other tavlin in your mixture. Shulchan Aruch says, "V'hu shi'atama tarovas hamei peros or tavlin nikar be'isa." As long as you can taste the sweetness, that's adequate to make it a bracha of borei minei mezonos. However, the Rama in the parentheses here, although it doesn't say Hagav, Yesh Omrim, this Yesh Omrim says, "Sheze nikra pas gomor." That's real pas. Elim kein yeshba harbe tavlin odvash kemine mesika shekorin lekach shekemara hadvash vatavlin heim haikar. So this Yesh Omrim, which is picked up by the Taz and Sif Katan Zayin Pirushim, Embo eladvash muat afal pisha nikar bahatam elatzarch sheba harbe tavlin. According to the Shulchan Aruch, it's possible b'kisnin as long as you have a little bit of sweetness and you can tell that it's sweet. So then now it's not pas chashuv, it's not regular pas. But according to the Yesh Omrim, as explained by the Taz, it has to be overwhelmingly sweet, it has to be like cake, it has to be a snack food, because the definition of pas b'kisnin is all about a snack food. Another application of this might be the third opinion that we mentioned, the Beis Yosef's quotation from the Aruch or from the Rav Haigon, which the Aruch HaShulchan here, Rav Yechiel Michal of Nevardek, Zeichet Tzadik L'Racha, and Sif Katan in Os Chaf Aleph, leaves as a question. He says, I don't understand it. Why should it be that something that's cracker-like is Borei Minei Mezonos? I don't understand. It's flour and water. So just because it's cracker-like, doesn't matter. The bottom line is, it should be like pas. He leaves that as a tzarachin. Tzarach lomar kevin shukashim od eno kapas v'tzarachin, says the Aruch HaShulchan. I'm not 100% sure, but based on what we said until now, you're right. According to the first definition, that it's a technical term of what's called a pas chashuv, so it's more difficult to understand. But according to the second definition, that it's a question of whether it's a snack food. Well, crackers, that's not a meal food. You don't you don't make a sandwich out of crackers. That's not where you're going to get your satiation, and therefore it's going to be by definition considered pas habakisnin. What's the source for this second suggestion? Perhaps the lashon, the language that's used here in the Levush, in Simen Kuf Samaches, in the end of Osvav, where the line in the Levush is, where Bederech ella bilechem shederech rov bnei adam lekvoa olav suda. So dahinu isa shenilosh b'mayim levad v'kemach b'mayim ikar v'nefa kedarka b'li shinui. So if it's something that's normally people are going to be kovea suda on it, well, that's going to be regular pas. But if it's not normal to be kovea suda, perhaps that's what we could call a snack food. So that wouldn't fall under the category of pas. It would be pas habakisnin. And there are other nafkaminas of this as well. But perhaps this is the fundamental question. So now the last issue to be considered for this brief chabura is, okay, so we know that one application of pas habakisnin has to do with what bracha you make before. The second application is what bracha you make afterwards. But then there is a third application, which is the Shulchan Aruch says that if you eat a shir of kviya su'uda, the amount of eating a meal food for a meal, so then you do switch over to hamotzi, so you're going to recite hamotzi and you're going to bench afterwards. So first of all, who's koveya? What is a shir suda? So the Gemara seems to have different opinions. And the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel, in the back of the Gemara, here at first he quotes in the Rami Rutenberg that it depends on most people. Whatever most people consider as the amount of food that's for a meal, that's what establishes the amount. And Mori Verabi of Herschel Schechter, I believe, pointed out once that that's going to depend on the kind of person that you're talking about. If you have somebody who is a young person, healthy person with a very large appetite, so you're going to decide the amount of pas habakisnin is going to be based on the number of people in that age range. Let's say you talk about a 20-year-old yeshiva boy or a college student, so he's going to eat a certain amount to be full, as opposed to a 95-year-old woman, so that's going to be different. The shir kviya suda is going to be different for rov b'nei adam, but it depends on your age bracket and the kind of station that you are, whereas the Rosh quotes from the Ravid, who says that it depends on the person themselves. However, there's one added wrinkle here, which is that the Magen Avram, Rav Avram Abba Gombiner, his classic commentary in the Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Katan Yud Gimel, points out that it's not so simple. It's not just about, well, how much cake would I eat to fill me for a meal? The Magen Avram suggests that if you nearly to him who koveas to udaso all of afa pisha ochalimo basar udvar macherim veilo achlo lovada lohaya savea mimeno afilo hachim bavarechamotzi vegimel brachos. The Magen Avram says, well, the meal is not just determined by how much of the cake you had. You could sit down to a dinner and let's say you have a piece of chicken, some vegetables, and a piece of cornbread. Well, the cornbread, you could say perhaps, is pas habakisnin, because it has a very sweet flavor. Most of the cornbreads have wheat in them, so it's not just corn. So it has wheat in it, but also has lots of other sweet ingredients, so it's pas habakisnin. Well, one piece of cornbread, okay, it's difficult for me to say that I would be full from an entire meal if I just ate one piece of cornbread. So then you would say, okay, I'm not going to make hamotzi, I'm not going to bench. But the Magen Avram says that therefore you have to take into consideration, you have to take into consideration all of the other items on your dinner tray right now. So I have to add together my cornbread with my chicken and my vegetables, all of that together is a full meal. Well, then even my cornbread becomes a shir kviya suda. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zichar Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, writes in a Chuvah, he says a person should be mindful that when they go to a wedding, or they're eating at a smorgasbord, something like that, well, they picked up a piece of mazonos, they pieced up a cracker. Well, that cracker, according to the third opinion, and the Shulchan Aruch accepts all the three opinions that we mentioned earlier about the definition of pas habakisnin, that it's either, like the Rambam said, like Rashi, that it's blended into the dough, that it's like a sweet dough, like a cake, or like the Rabbi Nachmanel said, quoted by the by the later Rishonim that it's filled or it's crunchy, so you have a cracker, and then you're eating more items at the smorgasbord or at the buffet or at your table, at your dinner table. Well, then perhaps your crackers that you ate with your soup combined with everything else that you ate could be considered to be transformed into a shir kviya suda. And then, in that circumstance, according to the Magen Avraham, you would not only have to make hamotzi, you would also have to bench after the entire meal, but tziruf with the inclusion of your pasa baba kisnin. So this is the kind of the Rashi Prakim, some of the issues. This is the initial discussion of some of the things that we have to think about in terms of pasa baba kisnin, of how do you define what is pasa baba kisnin? Question number two is, what's the reason for pasa baba kisnin and some of the nafkaminas? And then thinking about how do you measure the sheer kviya suda, and how that applies in other areas of halacha. Wish everybody hatzlacha rabba, and thank you for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.